We're excited at one of our favorite events each year on the calendar is here, the Maine Science Festival, underway with great events all weekend long, including Saturday night, the headliner event at the Gracie Theater at 7:30 p.m., Science versus UFOs. And joining us right now on the phone from Science versus is Wendy Zuckerman. Wendy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Was so excited for you all coming to town. For anybody who doesn't know, can you explain the genesis of Science Versus?
Yeah, so I make a podcast for a New York company called Gimlet Media. I used to make it back home in Australia, but someone at Gimlet heard it and shipped me on over, so I now make it in New York. And what we do is we kind of take on fads and trends and the internet mob and things that are in the zeitgeist. And we really put them under this sort of scientific microscope to find out, like, what's fact, what's fiction, and what most things are, which is somewhere in between. So we've tackled everything from, you know, detox teas to gun control, from, like, CBD to immigration. So we look at it all. And on Saturday, we're going to be looking at UFOs.
And by the way, the brand new season 6, this week, right, will be available?
That's right. That's right. We are just putting our finishing touches on it right now, and it should be out the door in a couple of hours. So hopefully we'll all get dinner.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk about Saturday night's subject. In your mind, in the official mind of those who understand science, what constitutes an unidentified flying object?
Well, I mean, it's sort of, the name speaks for itself. It's just anything, basically, that people see often in the sky that cannot be identified. And sometimes these things are later identified and then they become identified flying objects. But as we talk about in the episode, and we will talk about in the live show, not everything out there that people have seen has been identified. Now, a lot of it has, and it's kind of funny what people can confuse for, you know, what might be an alien ship. But, you know, we've all been out there, you know, out on a camping trip and seeing something funny in the sky, and depending on what mood we're in, we might shake it off or we might look at it for another second. So really, anything that people see that then they might, you know, there have been, which we talk about a little bit, you know, throughout the ages, there have been these sort of government departments that people could call and say, I'm seeing something weird in the sky. What do you think it is? And it was documented. And you know, in times of war, that was actually quite important, because an unidentified flying object could be an enemy ship or something. But at other times in history, it's had less of an impact on our day-to-day.
So if you see something in the sky that you can't explain, what is the most likely explanation?
Well, it's probably, it depends on the time of year. So with some of the common things that people confuse for an alien ship is stars, and often Venus. Now, I know that feels silly, but like actually, because the sky changes every night, and, you know, particularly through the season, so you might see a star, be like, oh, I've never seen that star before, but, you know, maybe you probably have, and maybe there's something about the atmosphere that's changed, or you're looking at it at a different day, and so it's looking a bit different. So stars are a big one. Also, aircraft is a big one. One of the funny ones we mentioned on the show, although I won't give everything away, when I called up the UK government department that used to track such things, they said the lights at a Tina Turner concert got a lot of people very very hot and bothered about the lights in the sky, which I want to laugh about, but I used to live near a stadium in Sydney, and before I realised there was a stadium there, the lights that came from it did look very bizarre. Now, I never called a government hotline and thought it was an alien, but if you didn't know, you would definitely think that's odd. So it runs the gamut.
We're talking with Wendy Zuckerman of Science Versus, Saturday night at the Gracie, Science Versus UFOs. And we were talking about this yesterday, mathematics of it all, mathematically speaking, with billions and billions of planets and galaxies out there, certainly the numbers would indicate that there is intelligent life somewhere else, but the mathematical odds are also about that extreme, that they would be at the same stage of development as we are to be able to form any kind of communication.
That's right. I mean, there's so many, the time sands that we're talking about it, but it boggles the mind. Just how huge the universe is. That, I mean, part of what we will talk about on the show is like what it would even just assuming that there is intelligent life out there, and that they were going to take the journey to come to us. You know, just how long it would take them to come here, because we know that, you know, there's no aliens on Mars. Like, we know our closest planet, that's there's no intelligent life there. Nothing. I mean, we might find some pond scum in a couple of years. It's, you know, looking like it, we probably will. But so, you know, we're not going to be able to sing a song, go for a dance, or get probed in any way by anything on Mars. Unlikely. So when we spoke to the scientists about, you know, where would the closest intelligent life be if it does indeed exist, just the distances that these aliens would have to travel to get to us are absolutely mind-boggling. But it is such a fun topic because there's so much unknown, and it lives in this land of theory and what's possible. And, you know, if we sort of dive into Einstein's equations, you know, there is an immense amount of things that are possible, you know, wormholes and possibly, you know, aliens traveling through those wormholes. And, you know, it's all possible. Likely, who knows? But, you know, it makes for this beautiful interaction between science fiction and science.
And what is the best argument from what you like to call on the show the opinionated mob?
Regarding UFOs?
Yes.
Really? Well, I mean, I think it is what you say, which is that given that the you know, there's so many planets out there, and even in my lifetime, we just keep discovering more. It's like an everyday occurrence now. I remember, I mean, I've been a science journalist for 10 years, and even when I was starting out, it was like, oh, exoplanet discovered. And now it's like, oh, yawn, found another exoplanet. But you know, back in the day, some of the researchers we spoke to, they were, you know, when they went to school, they were taught there was just like, you know, just the planets in our solar system. So there's this huge amount of knowledge that we now have about how many planets, how many potential planets there are out there. And so, for sure, it would be crazy to think that we're the only ones that evolved intelligent life. And so then once you get there, then you're like, well, then maybe they did come to visit us. So those are the questions we kind of probe, so to speak, in the show.
I like what you did there. I don't want to give away anything else about Saturday's show, but I did want to just touch on a couple earlier episodes from this fall. Are those pesky, sometimes annoying vegans right? Are they not only making themselves healthier, but are they saving the planet too?
Oh, wasn't that a disappointment, that episode? We really dove into the research on vegans. You know, famously, you know, I'm sure everyone's got a friend that's a vegan, but famously frustrating friends. Particularly if you're having a dinner party. But look, the science is on their side for the most part. I mean, there are some wild vegan claims out there that are wrong. But in terms of your health, broadly speaking, if you're a little bit careful, you know, you need to be, you're going to be missing out on some vitamins, like vitamin B. So you do need to be a little bit careful. But generally speaking, vegans are healthier.
And I have to bring up one of my favorite episodes from last spring, How Science Created Morons.
I loved exploring that because I'm so science positive. I mean, I love science. I love what it can bring to so many discussions where we don't even think that science is involved. And then you kind of look at the general discussion and you realize, oh, wait, people are saying, you know, facts, you know, when we think about the very political discussions around, like, even, you know, whether it's immigrants or even lots of talk around, like, you know, universal basic income or things like that. And then people think there's like, oh, it's just a political conversation. But actually, you know, science can help us understand these questions. And so when we looked at this, this was a very different kind of episode for us, but we looked at this science of intelligence and this, like, very dark history of science, because science is not perfect. And in that episode, we kind of explored this idea of like this kind of quest to make this highly intelligent race, I suppose, and then just the quagmire that science got itself involved in. And so I think while, you know, it's good for me, but also good for everyone who's pro-science, you know, we've got to be humble because there is some dark things in science's past, that's for sure.
And can you give us a little tease of what we might expect in season 6?
Yeah, well, so the episode that we are running just down the feed in a couple of hours is about alcohol. So is it good for you or bad? We have gone down the rabbit hole on that. Everyone knows, you know, you get whiplash all the time. It's good, it's bad, it's good, it's bad. And so we really dove into what is going on. Like, why are we hearing these mixed messages? We found ourselves headfirst in this academic blue, as we call it in Australia, but this like argy-bargy going on. And so we picked that apart and ultimately tell you whether alcohol is good for you or not. So that's coming out today. And then we're also looking at the fasting diet, which I'm really excited about. And then also the one after alcohol is another one looking into a dark chapter of science in America's history in particular. So I think that was definitely a surprise, another moment of being humble about you know where we've been and where we need to go. So it's an exciting season coming out.
Well, I can't wait. Love the podcast. It's going to be wonderful. Saturday night, 7:30 at the Gracie Theater, the main science festival headliner event, Science versus UFOs. Wendy, great to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.